Rushdoony Radio presents Systematic Theology in Two Volumes by Russus John Rushdoony, narrated by Nathan F. Conkey, produced with permission by the Chalcedon Foundation.
5. The Prophet. Deuteronomy 18 is of particular importance for the believer because its concern is covenantal life and teaching. God had made a covenant with his chosen people. Now he stresses the administration or ministry of that covenant. First, in Deuteronomy 18:1-8, the continuing ministry is set forth. The priests have as their function the sacrifices of atonement. The Levites were called essentially to instruction, Deuteronomy 33:10. Their support is required of the covenant people. Second, in Deuteronomy 18:9-14, they are warned against the ministers of demonic covenants. These come with many supermoral manifestations. Their claim is to know the secrets of the unseen world, to probe the supernatural and to bring a word from beyond the grave. The true ministers of the covenant set forth God's atonement through sacrifice and God's way of holiness and sanctification through the law. The demonic covenants offer secret knowledge of the unseen rather than righteousness. They offer gnosis, not salvation, and for them man's problem is not sin, but a hostile universe which they claim to penetrate. Thus, Moses declares, the covenant people will be in an ocean of pretended knowledge from the unseen world, often pretending to come in the name of the Lord. This knowledge will be esoteric. It will thus be Gnostic and antinomian. Because its salvation is knowledge or illumination, it will be hostile to the fixed and unchanging word of God. The Lord, however, had not yet concluded his revelation to the covenant people. The one word of God, Deuteronomy 4:2, had yet many words to be added to it. The threat was that the various ministers of the demonic covenants would claim to have such an additional word from the Lord. Hence, Deuteronomy 18:15-22 gives us the marks of the true prophet, the prophet of God's covenant and law, as against the prophets of a covenant with hell, Deuteronomy 28:15. The prophets were to culminate in the great prophet, of whom the woman at the well said, quote, "When he is come, he will tell us all things." Jesus saith unto her, "I that speak unto thee am he," end quote. John 4:25-26. Our Lord applied Moses' statement to himself again in John 5:45-47. After the first feeding of the multitude, men said, quote, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world," end quote. John 6:14. Our Lord echoes Moses' words, Deuteronomy 18:18-19, in particular in John 12:48-50. Peter in Acts 3:19-23 refers Moses' words to Christ. Thus, Jesus is supremely the prophet, and all prophecy is summed up in him. At the same time, all prophets coming before him are to be judged by the requirements of Moses in Deuteronomy 18:15-22. These words of Moses are law, a test, and a law. The word of the covenant God will only come from a covenant prophet and will be in agreement at all points with covenant law. The non-covenant or false prophet will speak a word which is not from God. Quote, "A word in my name which I have not commanded him to speak, or in the name of other gods," end quote, Deuteronomy 18:20. Thus, the false prophet will speak, whether in the name of the Lord or of other gods, an uncommanded word. The command word of God is his law. The whole of Scripture is a command word. The prophets of the Lord speak the command word. "Hear ye the word of the Lord." The false prophet shall die. God himself will bring judgment upon him, as witness the case of Hananiah, Jeremiah 28:15-17, who, in the name of the Lord, quote, taught rebellion against the Lord, end quote, Jeremiah 28:16. The work of a prophet was to speak for God. Thus, speaking was twofold. First, the prophet had to speak in faithfulness to the law of God, the covenant word. By giving his law word to Israel, God established the covenant, an act of grace. To deny the covenant law was to deny God and his grace. Thus, in every age, the false prophet of the covenant denies the law. This is a form of idolatry, as well as apostasy. Exodus 20:1-5, 22-26, 23:13, Deuteronomy 5:7-10, 6:14-following, 13:1-11, 4:15-28, 8:19-following, 11:16-following, 26-28, 16:21-following, 17:2-7, 27:15, 30:17-following, Leviticus 26:1, 19:4, Exodus 34:14-17. To serve other gods was to obey their law, to, quote, go after other gods, end quote, meant to desert God's covenant and law. Deuteronomy 13:2. This was an obvious and previously stated test of a false prophet. Moses does not repeat it here. However, there was a second aspect of prophecy, a more complex one, prediction. If the prophet spoke a word which did not come to pass, then he was a false prophet, a presumptuous man, and not to be feared. Deuteronomy 18:22. At this point, two facets of this warning concerning a false prophet must be noted. First, the false prophet may be outwardly faithful to the covenant law word, and then prophesy falsely. He is a false prophet. Second, he may be faithless to the covenant law word, and like one of the occultists described in Deuteronomy 18:9-14, while using God's name, and yet make true predictions, he is still a false prophet. The true prophet thus first speaks only God's commanded word, and second, he predicts accurately in terms of that word. A biblical example of the first kind of false prophet was Hananiah. Although God's word makes clear the judgment on sin, on lawlessness, Hananiah insisted on preaching an encouraging word to sinners, and he predicted deliverance, not judgment. This made him a false prophet, and he was judged accordingly by God, Jeremiah 28. A 20th century example of the second kind of false prophet was Rasputin. Rasputin believed in the occult, in reincarnation, was a member of the Callisti sect, a sexual fertility cult, and was a believer in an immanent divinity in all men. Some of his followers believed him to be a reincarnation of Christ. At the same time, while syncretizing paganism and Christianity, he predicted the downfall of Tsarist Russia if the country entered the war in 1914, and in other ways was at least a shrewd forecaster of the future events. An accurate prediction alone did not make a true prophet or covenant man. The great prophet, in whom God spoke his final word, and with whose word, through his apostles, the canon of Scripture ended, is Jesus Christ. His is the true and faithful word, and the sure word of prophecy. He is, quote, the faithful witness, end quote, Revelation 1:5. Because Jesus Christ is the very Son of God, Peter declares, quote, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, end quote, 2 Peter 1:17-19. That is, the great reaffirmation of the covenant word of God. Thus, the word of Peter to the faithful and to all of the old Israel is that Moses' requirements, as given by God, for the great prophet had all been met by Jesus Christ. The word sure is babaios, meaning firm, steadfast. It is used of God's promise to Abraham, Romans 4:16, and of the law given at Sinai, Hebrews 2:2. Jesus Christ is the confirmation of the old covenant, and all its prophecies of its covenant grace, law, and prophecies, so that in his person all has been confirmed. Thus, the great prophet is the total confirmation and ratification of God's covenant. The believer is in Jesus Christ called to be priest, king, and prophet. To be a prophet in Jesus Christ means to be faithful to the whole word of God as law, prophecy, and grace, and to be a predictor in terms of that word. The key to the believer's prophetic role in Christ is Romans 6:23, quote, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord," end quote. God's law tells us that judgment follows sin. In terms of Deuteronomy 28, for example, we can predict and prophesy what sin will produce. In terms of God's grace, we can also declare what follows from his gift and grace. Our prophetic calling binds us to the whole word and person of the Lord. Hello, this is Nathan, the narrator. Find my past and present projects and more at nathanteacher.com.